football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, everybody. If you've come here for the worst take of all time, the worst fantasy take of all time, you are going to get it on today's show. But first, you're going to get some very helpful advice. If you have any drafts coming up this weekend, we'll do what we can to help you out. Welcome to the show here on Friday, August 24th. Happy Friday, everybody. A preseason thriller last night, 5-0. We're going to talk about it, the minor injuries out of that game. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, Heath Cummings. Happy Friday, fellas.
Happy Friday, Adam. Did you think that Baker Mayfield was going to be a week one starter at one point during that game?
I did. I sure did.
I did, too. Yeah. I was like, oh boy, I got to get ready to move him up in my rankings. Thought it was a broken left hand for Tyrod Taylor. So far, it doesn't look that way.
I had written 400 words already about the Browns with Baker Mayfield. Just deleted them.
You know what? I don't think it would be such a bad thing for the Browns if Baker Mayfield started.
Well, we can get into that later. Yeah. We got to give the people some breakouts. I want two breakouts apiece from you guys, and I will tease what is supposed to be coming up on the show. Yesterday, it did not go very well. I didn't get to like anything in the notes, but I do have Fantasy Jeopardy in here, so I'd like to get to that. I've got some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll recap the preseason game. I'm going to give you guys at most 5 minutes to talk about the game, because I know you're going to want to talk about it for 20 minutes. Let's start with breakouts. Jamie, give me a breakout.
Chris Hogan. I think this is going to be a huge year for him without two of the receivers from a year ago, with Brandon Cooks and Danny Amendola gone, and with Julian Edelman suspended for 4 games, Hogan is going to be a top 20 wide receiver this year.
Ooh, all right. Chris Hogan or Corey Davis?
Hogan.
Dave, you have Corey Davis as a breakout.
I do. I think he has the season that we were kind of hoping for last year. I think he has that now, and then maybe even takes a bigger step next year. Love his size, love his potential, love the offense that he's in Tennessee, and they're moving him all around. I wish he had a quarterback like Tom Brady. He doesn't. He's got Marcus Mariota, but I think he can make do with it, and I think he could. I think he's got the upside, not saying he's going to get it, but the upside of 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns. If I had to project Corey Davis, though, I'm going to put him at 907. I think he scores the 7 touchdowns. I think he falls just short of the 1K.
Come on, Dave. Be bold.
Fine. 2,500 yards and 31 touchdowns for Corey Davis.
When would you guys take Corey Davis? What's a good time for him?
In a fantasy draft.
Okay. Round 6.
I don't mind late round 5.
All right. So we're talking about 60th overall or so for Corey Davis.
He's right in that range.
Yeah. His ADP on Fantasy Pros is 69th overall. That's nice. In non-PPR. Non-PPR. He's going ahead of Michael Crabtree, who's wide receiver 28, pretty low.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I mean, the only thing is if you're banking on upside, I would say Corey Davis has more upside than Michael Crabtree. Crabtree's safer.
Yep.
The floor is higher for Crabtree. The ceiling's higher for Davis.
By the way, Rishard Matthews approaching a return from the active pup list, but Delanie Walker's still out with a toe injury. Heath, give me
Did you see what the injury was for Matthews?
No.
Torn meniscus.
Oh.
And he had surgery apparently at the beginning of August. So hopefully he's coming back soon. I saw the same report you did, but I still think he's somewhat in question for week one.
All right, Heath, give me a breakout.
I'll go with Kenyon Drake, the guy that's going the opposite direction in ADP. Of course he's going to share work with Frank Gore. All running backs share work. I don't believe they're going to share the carries 50-50. And I don't believe that Gore is going to take anything away from him in the passing game. So I only have Drake projected for just over 200 carries. I still have him as a top 15 running back in both formats. I think he catches close to 50 passes, gets around 1,200 total yards, 7 touchdowns, and he's a top 15 running back.
Yeah, I think you brought it up yesterday. What you're concerned about with Drake is short yardage, right? Losing that maybe?
That's a little bit of concern, but I think the 5 rushing touchdowns I have for him is probably the lowest total I have for any running back with 200 carries.
Okay. His 3 touchdowns from last year, 3 rushing touchdowns, were from 66, 42, and 1 yard out. I don't know that we can get much out of that. But he only had 3 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving. Okay, hope you're right, Heath. Kenyon Drake could be a great, great value the way he's falling right now. Let's do round two of breakouts. Jamie, you gave us Chris Hogan, Dave Corey Davis, Heath Kenyon Drake. We're going to go snake draft here. Heath, you can go first. Give me a second breakout.
Well, good. Then I'll take the receiver that nobody took yet. I'll take Marquise Goodwin. And you wanted somebody we hadn't talked about as much, so that's really a bad one.
Well, that's okay, because he's getting...
Give us something new on.
Well, hold on. Let's look at all three receivers that have been mentioned here. Hogan, Corey Davis, Marquise Goodwin. Everybody tell me who your favorite is.
Goodwin.
Davis.
Hogan. I have it ranked Hogan and Goodwin back-to-back, and then Davis just slightly behind them.
Okay.
I have all of them as top 30 receivers, but Goodwin's the only one I have in the top 25.
Can we pump the brakes on Marquise Goodwin for just 1 second?
Why?
Now listen, I think he's definitely going to have a career year because the numbers that he has to top to have a career year aren't that high. But he's never been a touchdown type of – he doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. And the yardage
part of that
could
is
be
–
I don't know how consistent he'll be. I do like him as the number one receiver in San Francisco. I'm there with you on that.
And we know Kyle Shanahan's history with number one receivers.
But is
they
he,
get a
is,
ton of targets.
But name me those number one receivers.
Pierre Garçon.
Andre Johnson.
Andrew Hawkins.
Andrew Hawkins?
Yeah, he had 40 more targets than any other Brown when he was there.
What were his numbers? Do you happen to know that?
They were not good.
Okay.
But his quarterback wasn't.
And obviously Julio Jones was one of his guys. I think Marquise Goodwin is a good receiver. I think there are going to be some weeks where you start him and you love that you did, and there's going to be some weeks that you start him and you're going to say, why did I spend a
but if he has
on
the
this guy?
Best year he's ever had, then you think he's going over 1,000 yards.
No.
What's his high?
If you project,
he had 962 last year.
If you project his 5 games with Garoppolo over 16 games, it's 1,200 yards. It's 3 touchdowns, but it's 1,200 yards.
There's also no Garçon. Garçon.
Sure, but it's also...
But I don't think Garçon's that good either.
You look at... I think Garçon's actually an amazing value. You look at what the offense was. You know, Shanahan and Garoppolo having a full offseason together is going to be better for him. And Adam, you watched the preseason game against the Texans. He was locked into Goodwin.
He was. You know, you don't want to make too much of preseason, but Garoppolo in that game was, I think, the number one eye-opening performance to me that this preseason, but again,
he made
a throw.
Well,
he just looked. He looked so comfortable in the offense.
The preseason game the week before that, he was not as good, but I believe the first 3 passes he threw went to Marquise Goodwin. So it's just preseason, but these 2 preseason games and the 5 games from last year are also almost. Like it's all the data we have for him in San Francisco.
It's
all Goodwin.
It's also personnel. I mean, you know, the only addition that they make. Granted, you're getting Garçon back from injured reserve, but the only free agent or only addition that they made of significance is drafting Dante Pettis, who is by no means a dominant receiver. He is chance to be a good player, but he's more of a complimentary guy than a number one. Goodwin's not a traditional number one. I mean, they still need in the scheme of what their offense is a number one, but under the circumstances, he's their best bet.
Garoppolo made 2 throws in that preseason game that I think we should take note of. One was an out route to Goodwin that they made all the time last year. They are in sync on this. And when it's 3rd and 8, it's going to go to Goodwin. That's how he's going to get about 40 yards a game. The other throw he made was a deep ball. And I think it might have been the first throw of the game. I'm not sure. It might have been Goodwin's first catch. And that was a throw that Garoppolo had trouble with last year. And he hit it in this game. And if that continues, then yeah, Goodwin's going to get over 1,000 yards.
This might be a hot take, but I think he has 2017 Tyreek Hill upside.
So 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns?
Except he's going to get more than 105 targets, and he's definitely going to be using the red zone.
I don't know about the touchdowns. That's the one thing that's going to be a hang-up for
me. What would you say? He's not going to get 5?
Oh, I think he could get 5.
Can he get 7?
No. Well, I don't think he could even get 6. I think it's going to be low 1,000s. I'll go ahead and say 1,000s and then 5 touchdowns.
All right, that's Marquise Goodwin. Nice discussion there. By the way, just random thought. It would be funny if Sammy Watkins, Marquise Goodwin, Robert Woods were all on the Bills for 2 or 3 seasons. It would be funny if Watkins ended up being the worst of those 3. It would be very strange to think. All right, Dave, your second breakout.
I think Derrick Henry will be in for a monster year.
Dave getting choked up. He's so excited about it.
I am. Career numbers for Derrick Henry. This is in the regular season. 286 carries, 1,234 yards, nice symmetry, 10 touchdowns. I believe that he can get those numbers this year.
Those are good stats. I hope. How many carries?
286.
That's a lot, but even
if I think he's the best back in Tennessee. I think he'll get the most work. He'll get the least receptions. Deion Lewis will get more of those. I'm not buying into Deion lasting 16 games again. And I think there will be weeks where Derrick Henry is going to be fed 25-plus touches. He's the type of running back I want in round three.
I know you have Alex Collins and Henry as both breakouts. Who do you like better?
I currently have Collins one spot higher.
Okay. And Jamie, your second breakout.
I'm going to go with a rookie breakout.
Ooh.
Royce Freeman.
Definitely going to do something he's never done before.
Definitely going to do something he's never done before. But I think he's going to be a top 20 running back, and I think you're going to end up drafting him end of round three, beginning of round four.
And you like him better than Kerryon Johnson, right?
Yes. Okay. Unless Kerryon Johnson has a monster game against the Bucks. But no, I'll still stick with Royce Freeman.
Okay. I was going to ask you about him later because I want to talk about some mid-round picks if we have time. I do want to talk about the worst take of all time. Heath, how did it go over on Twitter when you gave just a dreadful, dreadful opinion?
Well, you know, one way that people analyze this is by the ratio. If you have a lot more replies than retweets or likes, then it was obviously a bad tweet. And it has a lot more likes than replies. 680 Ooh. Likes on this tweet. So I'm not sure it's as unpopular as I thought it was.
All right, hit us with it. Worst take ever.
The worst take ever is that league commissioners should not pay entry fees.
League commissioners should not pay entry fees.
Now, look, hold on a second. Being a league commissioner is a pain in the butt. But to be exempt from paying the league fees and draining the pool by 1/12? No. I don't think
this
you do that.
This is only because...
Buy your commissioner a beer. Take him out to lunch.
Should you be allowed
tip
to
your
receive
commissioner if you want.
The winnings?
Yes, because it's not people. The negative response I got was nobody should be eligible to win the money without putting money in. Mm-hmm. My response to that would be time is money, and the time that commissioners spend on a league, a good commissioner spends on a league, is worth more than the $25 or $30 you're putting into your
fee. Well,
now,
if it's $150
league, it's different.
Okay, it's different. If it's a small fee, okay, maybe. But I think. Like CBS, and I'm sure any website, makes it pretty easy to be a commissioner.
Yeah.
Okay,
so you would think so.
So wait, let's do this. Let's do this logically for a second. So what's minimum wage right now?
$8.
$8?
I thought they
raised
it.
Depends on where you are. Yeah,
so we live in Florida. What's the minimum wage in Florida?
I have no idea, but I'd assume it's
Dave has a machine. Check it, Dave.
Hold on, let me call my wife.
Okay.
I would assume that it is
$8.25.
Okay, so $8.25. How many hours do you think you actually spend as a commissioner?
Over a full season?
Yeah.
I would assume that it's over six.
Really?
Yes.
Six hours?
6 hours?
No way.
How many hours did I spend on our draft trying to get people to draft in the correct order? Or
slow drafts are
six?
Different. Okay, slow. If you're factoring a slow draft,
if you're doing
you
a dynasty league or a keeper league where you have
okay.
to put in keepers?
I would say I, in terms of like with the mock drafts and stuff, I probably commission the most leagues of us, right? Setup leagues?
The setup part, yes.
Okay. And I don't know how many leagues
that's
you,
probably half an
you
hour.
Commission.
Two or three? Yeah.
Okay, so I do more than you.
Yeah.
All right. So I would say I probably commission 7 or 8 leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I spent 6 hours total on all of them.
No. Yeah. And I guess I'm a really bad commissioner. And
that's true.
Being a bad commissioner doesn't take hardly any time at all, so I definitely should pay my entry fees.
I think Heath's take would have been good in 1995.
And I also think like a lot of people still have live drafts, the best way to do it.
Right, but
the
they
commissioner
don't keep track
often
of the stats
ends up hosting
live.
That.
If the guy has to go into his newspaper twice a week.
Well, then he should get all the entry fees, if that's the case.
Well,
oftentimes, like,
but if there was no internet, then maybe you could make the case that the commissioner gets a free pass.
I mean, you probably spend an hour just sending messages to people trying to collect the damn entry fees.
How long does it take you to type?
I'll just give you an example. Like, I'm setting up my keeper league draft for Sunday, and I have to go back and verify everybody's round that they kept there because they're just telling me they just click in the box.
Yeah.
And then I have to go and check what round they did to set up the draft, which is such a pain in the butt
yeah.
to do it. It probably takes me 30 minutes.
I'll tell you, Payne will also do things faster than a normal human being.
Payne, well, speaking, yes, but everything else,
no. No, no, no. Writing, everything. You tend to do it faster.
It's painstaking to go through that. But 6 hours?
Yeah. I'll tell you what takes 6 hours is choosing Podcast League contestants. And speaking of bad commissioners, Heath, how are we looking for the People League?
Everybody will have their email today.
Okay.
Adam, people are curious. How did your wife's draft go last night?
I don't think it went that well. I don't think it went that well. I don't really remember the team, but yeah, she's got Hopkins and McCaffrey, Stephon Diggs, and maybe Alex Collins. You should be playing your fantasy football on FanDuel, okay? Well, first of all, you should be playing on CBS, but also on FanDuel, you want to play some DFS? Well, the wait is nearly over. It is time. And if you're not a fantasy expert, FanDuel is clearly the place to play. FanDuel has something for everyone, and there are more ways to win than ever, and they have a free $250,000 Survivor Contest, the biggest free Survivor Contest ever. Pick one team to win each week. You cannot reuse that team again for the rest of the season. You got to sign up before week one. And if you want a $20 bonus when you make your first deposit on FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/FFT. FanDuel.com/FFT. That'll get you into the free $250,000 Survivor Contest. And new users get a $20 bonus when they make their first deposit. FanDuel.com/FFT. We're going to be competing against the listeners. Remember, you can do big contests for a lot of money against a lot of people. You can do small contests for a dollar against your friends. Anything in between. They have a lot of different types of games to play. So go to FanDuel.com/FFT. All right, let's get moving here. Got to say something about the first round running back. Saquon Barkley returned to practice, and Le'Veon Bell still has not reported yet. I guess those two are sort of question marks. Meanwhile, Dalvin Cook, not really question marks, but just to put people's mind at ease. Dalvin Cook could play tonight, which would be great. In terms of Barkley, Bell, and any other elite running back, do you have any concerns about their week one availability?
No.
Bravo. Good. Cleveland 5.
I'm apparently not allowed to just give one word answers. So, no, I do not have any concerns about their availability.
Well done. Yeah, that was wonderful.
Complete sentences are approved of in this class.
I get yelled at.
You do not get yelled at. Okay.
I do. I'll show you proof.
One guy. Cleveland 5, Philadelphia nothing. I want to remind everybody.
Corey Kluber was awesome.
The Browns went 4-0 in the preseason last year, and 0-16 after that. This was a terrible game. The offensive lines took vacations last night.
Either that or Myles Garrett is a man this year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
He's a man.
Yeah, he looks great. Could be in line for a big season, Myles Garrett. Did you guys have any big takeaways here?
God, the Eagles need healthy bodies.
They're in trouble.
And how in the world did Nick Foles win a Super Bowl? My God.
I know.
Like, if you're the Patriots watching that game last night, obviously the circumstances are tremendously different.
Right.
Like, the throws he made.
If he was in the Super Bowl with that offensive line, especially after Kelsey went out, and with those receivers, they would have been trouts.
It does make you wonder how somebody could look that great over a 16-game sample size and not actually be as good as he looked.
Well, I'll give you another idea. Could it be that the game plan for the Eagles was well thought out and well devised in the Super Bowl, and their game plan for a preseason game was, let's get the hell out of here without anybody getting hurt?
Yeah, which they barely did. Ajayi didn't play. Sproles didn't play. Jeffrey didn't play. Aguilar didn't play. So let me make this. Obviously, Wentz didn't
Jason
play.
Jason Peters didn't play.
Jason Peters, your left tackle, didn't play. The AP recap said, at this point, Foles, the unlikely hero from last season, will likely start the season as the Eagles wait for Wentz, who recently began working in 11-on-11 drills. I don't know that that's a certainty, but it's obviously a possibility. I think that a lot of people are going to go into this season expecting the Eagles to have one of the best offenses in the NFL. Are you backing off of that at all?
If they're all healthy, then yes, they're going to have one of the best offenses in the NFL. But we don't know how healthy they're going to be. There's also a question of how explosive they'll be. Who's the downfield threat now? It might be one of the running backs.
It's probably the same thing that it was last year. Mike Wallace and Torrey Smith are the same guy.
Mike Wallace is better than Torrey Smith.
Mike Wallace is a better all-around receiver than Torrey Smith. Is he as fast as Torrey? And I mean, what you gave up with potential speed and Torrey Smith, you're getting with like good hands with Mike Wallace.
Well, are we downgrading any Eagles, or is this just a crappy preseason?
I think it's already been done. Can't downgrade him anymore.
Right. I think it's already been done. We've got Carson Wentz as low as we're comfortable with. I'm basically assuming at this point that Alshon Jeffery's going to start the year on the PUP list. There was a headline this week that he was practicing with the helmet on. That's where he's at in his development ready for the season.
Honestly, I'm more concerned about Aguilar at this point because we kind of know what Jeffery's headed for.
So what's up with Aguilar, right, and why isn't he there?
And Clement too. Like, he's been banged up.
Yeah,
so
he's set.
You know, two guys that I think we're all excited about based on where they're being drafted and what the upside could be. It's hard to be excited about them now. So I think it's in terms of your question, Adam, they'll be top half. That goes without saying. Will they be top 10 or top 5? Because, you know, Dave said this a lot. You know, Carson Wentz will make his players better, but he has to have player. I mean, you know, you can't go with the receiving core that they have. And as much as they can get away with these two tight end sets, that's going to get, you know, figured out pretty quickly, as good as Dallas Goedert may be as a second tight end behind Zach Ertz. But Ajayi should be fine. You know, he's not really dealing with a significant injury. Sproles is coming back from the ACL. He should be fine. So their running game should be okay. But did we find out how bad Kelsey's injury is?
Oh, he not came yet. Back.
He did come back.
He did. Yeah.
I didn't see him come back. All right. Yeah. So that's certainly a
didn't
a
he
big
come
thing.
Back? They, can we confirm that he came back?
I didn't think he did because I when I saw him come out, I thought he was done, especially given the preseason. But If he misses any time, then that's going to be problematic.
I think it's fine. The headline, Eagles survive Jason Kelsey injury scare versus Cleveland Browns. Whether or not he came back or not, I'm pretty sure their center, Jason Kelsey's fine. In terms of the Browns, first of all, Carlos Hyde had 7 carries in the first half. Nick Chubb had 1. So that's significant. Jarvis Landry, only 3 catches, but he had 10 targets. No other Browns player had more than 4. David Njoku seems pretty involved.
But he's headed for a big year.
You think so? Because I would say this. Like, they looked amazing first week against the Giants. The last 2 weeks, the offense, I feel, I don't know. Maybe they're just not finishing drives, but the numbers aren't very good.
So if Njoku tried to, you know, hurdle 15 people to get into the end zone, scores on that play when they, you know, got stopped at the 1?
He set them up for first and goal at the
right.
1 with that,
you know,
dive.
And if they score, look, you know, you can critique the play calling, you know, 4 tries at the 1 passing. I just wonder if that's circumstantial. They're trying to work on things as opposed to just being dumb.
Right. They didn't even try running it
right
one time.
Because the week before,
they did.
They ran it in the end zone against the Bills. So I just wonder if that was, let's try and, you know, do some situational football. And they end up getting Tyrod hurt. But I think Njoku's headed for a big season. You know, the one thing that we just don't know is how does Josh Gordon work with all this?
Right.
And, you know, does he take away so much from the other guys, or does he just not ascend to the heights I think that a lot of us are hoping for? You know, it's probably somewhere in between, but he's going to clearly impact Landry. He's going to impact Njoku, and hopefully he still does enough. And this is, I think, why anyone who's excited about whether it's Tyrod or Baker or, you know, the quarterback situation in Cleveland, you're looking at all these pieces and saying this could be awesome, but we just don't know how it's all going
to
look.
I don't know if I've seen enough from Tyrod to believe that he can support Gordon and Landry and Njoku as relevant, consistent fantasy players. Because he looked great on the very first drive in the second week of the preseason, and he looked good on the first drive of the first week of the preseason. But there have been a lot of drives with the Browns where Tyrod has been very eh.
Yeah.
See, I understand what you're saying, and it's not a bad interpretation of it, but the first two drives against the Giants, they were throwing. They were up tempo. They let him come out that second drive, and he, you know, hit 5 passes or 4 passes to get them into the end zone with the touchdown to Njoku. Then he was done. Against the Bills, I mean, you were there. It looked like it was, let's work on our run game.
It was.
And get.
But then when he did throw, it was just, he didn't take a lot of chances. And
sure.
You know, I got flashbacks to Buffalo.
But then last night was.
Last night was 11 of 16 for 65 yards.
Yeah, but also a lot of that came after he was hurt. And so you just wonder if it was check down passes, whatever.
I'm going to move us along and stop talking about Tyrod Taylor and ask you this. Carlos Hyde or Royce Freeman?
It's got to be Freeman. just based on
it does?
Potential for him to be the main back in Denver.
What's the potential for Hyde to be the main back in Cleveland?
Duke Johnson's there. Duke's going to have to get hurt for Carlos Hyde to have that role.
I have Freeman ranked higher right now. I'm going to get very nervous about that if we see a complete split in first team touches tonight.
Oh, I bet you will.
I'm still taking Freeman. I like the way Carlos Hyde has looked, but there's going to be some games where he misses. There's going to be some games where you saw it. He had the big run. He came off the field. Chubb came in. He had a nice run. So I think we're going to see that happen a little bit more often too. It's not just going to be the way we're seeing in the preseason where it's only Hyde and Chubb's just a reserve. They're going to give Chubb a series or two, and he's probably going to be in that 5 to 10 carry range.
We got some news and notes to get to here, so let's give some quick reaction. Marlon Mack is no lock for week one with his hamstring injury. Their first two games of the season are against two teams that were two of the three worst teams against fantasy running backs last year, Cincinnati and Washington. And for Cincinnati, it was mostly touchdowns, not necessarily yards. But all right, so Jamie got very excited on IM yesterday about Jordan Wilkins with Marlon Mack potentially not ready for the season opener.
I still think he's their second best option behind Mack. Now, there is the thought of, can he be their best pass blocker and pass protector comparatively to, and I'm going to throw up when I say this, Christian Michael.
Yeah!
Because he's a veteran guy that's done it.
Chris Michael got a yeah?
It's just fun. It's fun. Every year we get to talk about Chris Michael.
There's no way they're going to put Nyheim Hines back there right now. So I think you're going to see more of Christian Michael week one than you would probably expect because Turbin's suspended. They just cut Josh Ferguson. So I still think this is if you're in the Jordan Wilkins bandwagon, this just makes him more attractive.
And I want to clarify because I know that most of the reaction yesterday, and it's the way that we react to most news, but the Marlon Mack is no lock for week one. That is not saying Marlon Mack is not going to be ready for week one. Yeah.
But it could mean that if he does play week one, he's limited in week one because he's not at 100%. Adam, do we have time for a philosophical question or not?
Absolutely not. Marlon Mack or Isaiah Crowell?
I'll still take Mack.
I've got him back to back. I will take Mack.
Mack.
Do we have time for a were we going to have a philosophical question about the Colts running game?
Yeah.
No.
You want to hear it?
No,
I'm going to
put
the question out there. You don't have to answer.
Fine, just put it out there.
If Robert Turbin wasn't suspended, would we draft him?
Well, that is really
That's actually kind of interesting.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Kind of interesting.
The answer is yes. We would 100% draft him.
No. All right. Let's move on. Next news item. Dallas guard Zach Martin insists he'll be ready for week one. Obviously, Travis Frederick certainly up in the air. And Lyle Collins was limping at practice, so their O-line's pretty beat up. They got some time to recover.
There's a problem with all five starters now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Tyron Smith's not a serious issue, right?
No, but it could flare up. His back could flare up at any time.
It was said on the broadcast last night, Josh Gordon will not be a starter when he returns. It's like that's just whatever, right? I mean, semantics kind of.
You get fantasy points for starts.
Yeah, you just got to work his way back. Kansas City offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy said Sammy Watkins and Patrick Mahomes are starting to sync. Yeah.
And did anybody watch that game against Atlanta?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did anybody think that Sammy was kind of loafing it on the interception?
Oh, yes.
Everybody on Twitter did, right?
Yeah.
Preseason.
Odell Beckham getting closer to a new contract. Charles Sims is out for the season. Josh Rosen's day-to-day with a thumb. Christian Kirk could begin the season as Arizona's number two wide receiver. Are we drafting Christian Kirk? We did our top five wide receivers yesterday, rookie wide receivers. Christian Kirk, do you guys find yourself drafting him?
Not in a league that's only 14 rounds, but anything deeper than that, yes.
Rashad Penny has gained 16 pounds since the NFL Combine. Is this a big
deal? Me too.
Is this a big deal? Rashad Penny up 16 pounds?
It's just not good.
Well, how do we know what are the pounds fat like mine or muscle like other players?
Pete Carroll was happy about it, so I'd assume they're muscle.
Pete Carroll loves fat.
He likes global warming, I bet. Like, oh, summers are so nice.
What doesn't
nice.
He like?
Yeah, I know. Chris Carson or Carlos Hyde?
Hyde.
Oh, you can't.
Hyde.
You can't even go there.
Chris Carson or Marlon Mack? And I can go there.
Mack.
Mack.
Okay. Pittsburgh's going to run the no-huddle offense more than ever this season, according to Big Ben Roethlisberger. Is that
Big
Ben
news? Top five.
Top five.
Is that where you have him?
Yep.
All right. Good for you.
Baltimore may keep RG3, which would be an indication they don't feel Lamar Jackson's ready to be their backup because, you know, quarterbacks need to be able to throw. Rishard Matthews is close to coming off the PUP list, as we mentioned, and Delanie Walker still out with a toe injury. And I basically have not put the SeatGeek app down for the last three or four days as I continue to monitor prices for an upcoming event. Yeah, so SeatGeek's the best. If you need tickets, you want to, you know, planning a last-minute night out, you want to find a good gift for somebody, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, and it's all fully guaranteed. You know, there's nothing like being in person at a game, at a concert, wherever. SeatGeek's going to get you closer to the action for a great value, and I really, truly do use it all the time. In this case, we're looking at a college football game, trying to get there. I downloaded the SeatGeek app a couple years ago at this point, and I've told so many people about it because I consistently find the best prices on SeatGeek. And we'll save you an additional $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase with the promo code FFT. So just download the SeatGeek app, search for your event, find the tickets you want. Every seat is graded based on value. You can find the best deals. You can sort with or without the fees so you can see the full price. I love that feature. And use the code FFT at checkout for $20 off your first purchase. Again, download the SeatGeek app, and the code is FFT. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. All right, what do we got here? We got rankings disputes. I think I'm ready for that. But I would like to read one email because I think it's fun. It's from Joel. Where's Joel from?
Syosset, New York.
Oh, wow. A lot of Long Island lately. What is your expectation for Mark Ingram once he gets back from suspension? Top 15 running back? Who do you typically pair with him to cover the first 4 weeks?
Jamal Williams has been one of my targets for that. In our podcast league, I took Chris Carson because I think he'll have some opportunities early in the season with Rashad Penny banged up.
How about Peyton the Beefcake Barber?
And Peyton Barber, that's the other one. You know, again, just with what their early season workload should be. But I will say this, go get Jonathan Williams. He's cheap, he's late, and he's going to get that that second situation, that second spot behind Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, I think probably Barber and Williams are the cheapest, so those would be the guys I'd be most interested in pairing. And just to answer the first part of the question, I think it's important to look back at what he was after week five last year. He was a number four running back in PPR scoring, and he outscored Christian McCaffrey, number eight, by 60 fantasy points.
He's going to win a lot of people leagues because you're getting what could be a number one running back in round five.
That's five fantasy points per game better than the number eight running back.
Wow. So in his last seven games, Mark Ingram only averaged 12 carries per game, but he also had four catches per game. So 16 touches per game, and I know he's not playing 16 games, but just to understand the pace, that would be a 256-touch pace, and that's very good. So you give him 12 carries and 4 catches. Of course, we can't guarantee that, but it seems fairly realistic. That is still a lot of touches. Maybe he's going to be better in PPR. He still had, I'm assuming, a pretty high touchdown rate, right?
He scored one touchdown per game. I have him projected for just over 1,000 total yards and 7 touchdowns, which is a lot more valuable over 12 games than it is over 16.
I think you're probably looking at, I don't know what I'm projected for, but I would say probably 220 total touches.
I've got him for 246, so a little over that.
Okay, so let's split the difference, say 230, 235. He's probably going to score 8 touchdowns?
7 is what I got, so yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good for a 12-game stretch.
And so, yeah, like if you like...
And just imagine, though, look, Alvin Kamara is going to get a lot of work. If he doesn't hold up to a lot of work early in the season and Ingram comes back and gets all those touches, don't predict that, obviously, but he could be he's going to win a lot of people.
Either. I've been taking him in the fifth round, and I'm starting to think maybe I should take him in the fourth.
Whenever I have a swing pick, I take him at the end of round four.
Okay, so what I was going to say is if you like maybe Rex Burkhead, let's hope he's healthy, Kerryon Johnson, Marshawn Lynch. There are really a ton of running backs that we could list right now. Just as a number two running back for the first 4 weeks. Like, let's say you only take one running back and then Ingram is your number two. And then you go with Lynch or Kerryon if he's, you know, his ADP is probably not 100% right because it's going to keep going up. You take, I said Burkhead, right? Carlos Hyde, you might be able to get, Jamal Williams. Isaiah Crowell has a nice schedule his first two games. Maybe a Colts running back. There are enough guys to fill in the blanks.
Adam, the way to sum it up is anyone that has a situation where you could see them losing carries at the end of the year or middle to the end of the year, but has a what seems to be a stronghold on the job to start now.
Yeah, the only one I would question is pairing Ingram with Chris Carson and expecting Carson to be your starter because he does open at Denver. Well,
he's going to get work. Whether it's successful work or not, he's going to get work.
At Denver, right. He does, at Denver, at Chicago, Dallas, at Arizona, and the Rams. And the, Chicago and Dallas might not jump out at you, but these five teams could be very good against the run. The Rams were actually the only one last year that weren't good against the run. So we've pointed it out. The Seahawks appear to have, on paper, a tough schedule, tough run schedule to start the year. It's worth mentioning. He's still going to get work, though.
The best thing you could do is get Jonathan Williams. Like, instead of just trying to, you know, manage your roster with the middle round picks.
But what if Jonathan Williams, like, what if he gets like 8 carries, 30 yards, doesn't score? Like, we can't expect him to just be Mark Ingram.
Then it's going to be all the better for Ingram when he comes back.
Obviously, he's not at the same level of Ingram and, you know, is not going to put up Ingram type numbers, but he's going to get probably 8 to 10 carries and maybe a catch or two. And so if you just don't want to spend the capital on somebody to try and find that replacement, like, you should obviously take backup running backs that you think are going to be successful. But if you're not necessarily doing it with the idea of, oh, I have to get an Ingram replacement in round 6 or round 7, you could get Jonathan Williams in the double-digit rounds, and at least you know you're getting somebody who's going to get work in that beginning part of the season.
Well, the guys that you're getting to replace Ingram in round 6 and 7 are going to be valuable to your team anyway. So,
I understand that, but I think the point would be to just don't chase that.
Let's do a few rankings disputes. Dave and Jamie have Saquon Barkley in their top 6 overall players, not just running backs. Heath has Barkley 12th in non-PPR and 16th in PPR. So, Damie, tell me why Barkley is a top 6 pick. Actually, I think it's more interesting if, Heath, you tell me why you have him 12th in non-PPR and 16th in PPR.
Most of this is just me being more than happy to take receivers at the end of the first round and the start of the second round. I think is a large part of it. But also, I don't have Saquon Barkley in my top 6 at running back. So, when comparing him to guys like Melvin Gordon, to guys like Kareem Hunt, he does have more upside. He's also has a lot more downside. I've not been convinced by what I've seen from the Giants offensive line yet this preseason that they are really that improved. And I'm not sure that they're going to have a great defense. So I think there is a chance that Saquon Barkley doesn't have quite as much success. I don't think there's any question he's going to break the big runs like he did on that first carry. But there may be a lot of carries that look like his next 3 where he's running into the back of his offensive lineman.
But that's typical for a lot of running backs around the NFL. I don't want to miss out on this guy's career, frankly, and certainly not rookie year. I think he's got everything that you want in a running back that you would take in the early part of this draft. I think he's going to get a ton of work. I don't think he's going to share that much. I don't think there's a down or distance that you're not going to see him on the field for. He's big, strong, fast, good hands, can block. He can do everything. And the Giants picked him not to sit on the bench and split carries with Jonathan Stewart. It's not going to happen.
Look, no, Kareem Hunt's not going to.
Kareem Hunt's not splitting carries, and Melvin Gordon's not splitting carries.
I don't think so, but that one I'm not sure of. Point is, we've got a running back who's going to get over 300 touches. We've got a running back who's going to work the goal line. Is he in a dynamic offense?
We haven't differentiated him from Gordon.
I got to tell you something, actually, because I never got a chance to mention this, but Jonathan Stewart has been used on like 3rd-and-1 and maybe even 4th-and-1, and Barkley didn't play in the second preseason game. But I am 70% thinking that Barkley is going to get short yardage goal line work, but I do think there's a chance that they justify Jonathan Stewart's existence.
Well, they did. There was a report that Stewart may not make the team.
Right.
All right. Well, if he makes the team,
like, you're right, Adam. But there's a chance that, you know, they may have to make a decision between him and Gallman, and Gallman's skill set.
Gallman's better for sure. Yeah.
And to be clear, this is a rookie running back that I'm saying in both formats should be picked in the top 16 picks. I'm not saying Saquon Barkley is bad at all.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think he is as safe for sure as Gordon.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he has a lot more upside.
Well, unfortunately, sorry, Jamie, I just want to say you can't watch Barkley on NFL Game Pass this week, but you can watch any other running back that's going to actually be playing. And NFL Game Pass is really great. Every out-of-market preseason game live. Now is the time to take advantage of this offer for you, by the way. A 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Sign up at NFL.com/fantasyfootball today. NFL.com/fantasyfootball today. Get a 7-day free trial and watch all these preseason games. It could really help you get ready for your draft. If you don't think you have time for the preseason games, you can watch them in condensed mode, and you will have time to watch as much as you want. So if there's a player out there or a game out there that you want to watch, I'm going to be definitely watching the Lions backfield and seeing what, because Amir Abdullah started last week. Let's get some more Kerryon Johnson in there. Let's see how Royce Freeman looks this week. Going to get some good indications and do it all on NFL.com/fantasyfootball today. Sign up for Game Pass, 7-day free trial. Again, you can kick off the 2018 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass at NFL.com/fantasyfootball today. Game on. All right, let's move to our next one here. Heath has Drew Brees ahead of Deshaun Watson. Drew Brees ahead of Deshaun Watson. Dave, is that crazy?
Yep. It's nuts. Let's just go back to what Jamie and Heath got done saying about Mark Ingram and how good he's going to be this year. And we know that Alvin Kamara is going to be great this year. And what did we see last year from the Saints? We saw Drew Brees throw about 150 fewer pass attempts than the year before. We saw low touchdowns. Even if he bounces back, I don't think we're going to get peak Drew Brees. I think he's going to be better, but I don't think he's going to be amazing. Deshaun Watson has a chance to be just unreal. I don't think he's going to have the type of efficiency that he had last year, but I think he's going to be a couple of touchdowns per week, 225 to 250 yards with Gus up to 300, 350. I think you're going to see Deshaun Watson have a lot of monster games because I just think that that's the way the Texans are going to roll. They know that he's the future. They've rebuilt the offense around him. His upside is much higher than Drew Brees'.
I will say if you play anywhere other than CBS, shame on you. But if you play anywhere other than CBS, I would pick Deshaun Watson over Drew Brees. But in a league where passing touchdowns are 6 points, I think Brees throws one more touchdown than Watson does this year. And in a league where interceptions are worth -2 and not -1, I think Watson is right there with Patrick Mahomes amongst the most likely quarterbacks to lead the league in interceptions.
How many attempts did you project for Drew Brees?
577.
Wow. So he's bouncing right back to where he was.
Well, no. He was over 600 for like 6 years in a row.
Okay. So he's going to drop by 25. That's like 1.5 target or pass attempts per game. But what did he have last year? He had like
540.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Jamie, let's get you involved here on a rankings issue. Well, you have Evan Ingram as your number 9 tight end. Heath has Ingram 8th. Dave has Ingram 4th. So, Jamie, you and Heath are low on Ingram. You're the absolute lowest on Evan Ingram, number 9 tight end.
Are we Hamey? Is that how it works?
Hamey, yeah.
Or I like Jeith.
Jeith, yeah. go ahead, Jamie. Talk about Evan Ingram.
I think he's a good player. I think he's in a good situation, but his targets are going to come way down. You know, he had 116 targets last year. That was with Beckham only playing in the first, four of the first 5 games. Shepard was in the lineup, and obviously, as we just talked about, Saquon Barkley not on the team. So I think his we haven't projected, I think. I don't know what you have, Heath, but I saw our CBS projections, like 70 catches, 700 yards, and 6 touchdowns. I would say the catches and yards are high. I could see him scoring 6 touchdowns, but I don't think he's going to be a top 5 tight end, and I'm a little concerned about him finishing inside the top 10. But it's hard to overlook his talent. I just think target share is not going to be there for him, given what the other guys are going to be around him.
Yeah, I've got him for 59, 6, 60, and 5.
Yep, that feels right to me.
Yeah, I'm going. I think he's got the. It's a very tough call now between him and Trey Burton, but I think he still has a ton of upside. I think he does get over 100 targets. I think his efficiency goes up as well. Last year, he had a lot of drops. He was counted on basically as their de facto number one receiver for a bunch of games. He had at least 7 targets, I want to say, in 3 of 4 games with Odell Beckham. And I think that's going to continue. The coverage isn't going to be the same as it was last year because Odell's on the field, because Saquon's on the field. And I think he's still going to be a big-time target in the red zone, much to the dismay of Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham owners. But I think that he's a key part of the Giants. His practices have gone really well the past few weeks. I know there was one day early on in training camp where he had drops. I don't believe he's had another day like that since. And this is an offense that I think is going to be very good this year. And he's part of the reason why I think it's going to be very good. So if I find him round six-ish, seven-ish, I'm happy to take him to be my starting tight end.
And let's just check real quick on Evan Ingram's ADP. 65th overall, so that would be mid-round
six. Yep.
Okay, we're going to get into mid-round picks right now. Here's what we're going to do. We got 15 minutes left. We're going to do our favorite mid-round picks and how we navigate the middle rounds. And we're going to do Fantasy Jeopardy because I think it's fun. I think people will have a nice time to send them off into the weekend with a smile on their face. All right, mid-round picks. I'm going to define them as round five to, like, I don't know, eight or nine in a 12-team league. So we're talking about pick 49 overall in the next 50-ish picks. Okay, we don't have to be too specific about it. But starting with round five. So do you guys, like, there are different ways to approach this exercise. Do you want to fire away with some of your favorite mid-round picks? Maybe what position you tend to draft there. Obviously, the guys that we mentioned at the top of the show, like Chris Hogan, Corey Coleman, Royce Freeman, Marquise Goodwin, they're going to be among our favorite mid-round picks. They were the breakouts.
Dude, wow, big Freudian slip there by you.
What did I say?
Corey Coleman.
Oh, Corey Davis. Corey Davis.
I thought you were being funny there. I was waiting for the laugh.
Yikes. Thank you for picking up on that. So, yeah, Heath, take it away. Once we get to round five, what are we looking at?
Well, I think the running backs we're looking at are guys that we have talked a lot about. It's Kerryon Johnson. It's Mark Ingram. It's Jamal Williams. There are a lot of those. Carlos Hyde, guys that, I mean, you look at ADP. Right now, Carlos Hyde's at 89, and he's tied with Jamal Williams. Like, that's the eighth round.
Yeah.
That those guys are available, still somehow behind Ronald Jones, but he'll fall behind them eventually.
So when would you take Hyde and Jamal Williams? The eighth round is probably not going to happen, and certainly in our drafts. But with sixth round, is that okay?
Right. The problem is with Williams, because normally we look at these and you can make the adjustment. Yeah, Carlos Hyde's risen 13 spots as of late, so yeah, he's not going to be there. Jamal Williams has fallen six spots. He might be. I would still be happy taking either of these guys in the late fifth, early sixth round.
Okay. Dave, let's talk about the tight ends here. I know you love to get Zach Ertz, but if you don't get Ertz,
there's a bunch to go after.
A lot, yeah.
This is a good time to go at. We just got done talking about Evan Ingram. I think he's a great mid-round pick, and I like Trey Burton a lot too. Those guys are going to be, in my rankings, they might as well be 4A and 4B. I really think that they both have the type of upside and the type of ability to get you to that 8-point fantasy mark in non-PPR from a tight end because of touchdowns or yardage. Whereas Jimmy Graham is an example of somebody who you're probably going to need a touchdown from in order to get 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 fantasy points from him. He's not going to have a lot of games with 70-plus yards. Greg Olsen's in this mix for me, too. I think this is a great topic or a great point to make that if you do decide to not take a tight end with one of your first three picks, rounds five through seven, maybe a little later, you can find one of those four tight ends I just named, Ingram, Burton, Olsen, Graham, and be very happy to have one of those guys on your team.
I wonder about Burton's ADP because right now Trey
Burton... It's way low, isn't it?
Yeah, it's round eight, so I just this second looked at MFL 10 ADP since Monday, and it's still 88th overall. So
steal.
Burton is a great value there.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. Enough people do fantasy research. There's going to be one or two guys in every draft that know that that ADP is too low, and they're going to jump on him by the end of round six.
But when we get past the mid-round tight ends, Graham, Olsen, Ingram, Rudolph, Walker, Reed, Trey Burton, that's only 10 when you combine them with the top three who are early-round picks. After those 10, you've got Njoku, you've got Kittle, Colts tight ends, Eifert, Bucks tight ends, etc. Is it imperative for you guys to get a top 10 tight end, or are you okay with Njoku, Kittle, etc., like the guys I just mentioned?
Yes, I'm okay with those guys.
Because of the value you're getting them at.
Absolutely. I mean, I was a little surprised to get Njoku in our 14-team PPR league, where I did, round 10. Kittle is obviously falling because he's not playing, but you know, if you like the 49ers offense, he's probably going to lead them in red zone targets, which he did a year ago. And so you're looking at those guys and then obviously Jack Doyle's still going to have a significant role based on what it appears. You have, you know, the Hayden Hurst, Ben Watson, Mike Gesicki, you know, these guys are all going to have a role at some point, and maybe a significant one. So you don't have to reach for a tight end if you don't want to.
Just finish up tight ends. How are you feeling about Jimmy Graham right now?
Touchdown or bust, but it could be a lot of them.
I'm pretty excited. I don't like he might get hurt, but if he doesn't get hurt, I have a hard time seeing how he doesn't score 7 or 8 touchdowns.
Do you think that it's smarter in these mid rounds, 5 through 8, 5 through 9, whatever, starting with pick 49, 12-team league, to focus on upside, focus on safety, consistency, none of the above? Does that factor in at all?
Depends on what your team looks like, I think.
Yeah, it's a combination of the three, or two, I guess, upside and safety. But it depends. Like, if I've got Tyreek Hill and Josh Gordon earlier in the draft, I'd probably like a little bit of safety.
Sure. And then who would be a guy that gives you safety?
Oh, I mean, you know, like if you're looking at tight ends, I would say Olsen gives you safety. You know, the running backs, it's probably, you know, you're looking at Hyde over Williams and Freeman and Kerryon Johnson. Marshawn Lynch is probably better than Rex Burkhead and Marlon Mack.
Crowell over Mack, I think.
Crowell, sure. To go back to the previous question, you know, the receivers, you're probably looking at, you know, guys like Robert Woods, trying to think of like Marvin Jones.
Somehow Larry Fitzgerald's available in the 5th round according to our ADP, so that would be a guy that's pretty safe.
It's funny, I did a when I left yesterday on Thursday show, it was for a Phoenix sports radio station, CBS Sports Radio affiliate in Phoenix, and they're asking me about the Cardinals guys, and they said, everybody here takes Larry Fitzgerald at the end of the 1st round, beginning of the 2nd round. And I go, everybody in the nation does not.
Yeah.
But he's, how, you know, fast can I get out to Arizona for some fantasy?
Well, they were just talking about, like, you know, guys that are stalwarts that, and, you know, similar to what you're asking, Adam, like safety, you know, guys that are stalwarts that, you know, just continually get overlooked. You know, I brought up Philip Rivers and, you know, Fitzgerald is obviously one. And they were like, oh, yeah, he goes in the 1st round on here. Everybody wants to get him because they just love him.
All right, let's finish with this. Rank these 3 wide receivers: Will Fuller, Cooper Kupp, Jamison Crowder.
What's the format?
Will Fuller, Cooper Kupp, Jamison Crowder in PPR.
Crowder, Kupp, Fuller.
The exact opposite for me.
Crowder, Kupp, Fuller.
Is Fuller a breakout candidate for you guys, like a legit one?
He is a breakout candidate, yes.
Absolutely, but, you know, he's not going to get a lot of catches. He's extremely touchdown dependent.
He averaged, well, I think it was 17 points per game with Deshaun Watson in standard scoring and 2 points per game without him.
I think he was hilarious. On like a 49 catch pace with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but, so he, no, yeah, but he also was on like a 28
touchdowns. 49 touchdowns. Right. Yeah,
he's wide receiver Jimmy Graham.
Adam, we talked about this after the Superflex league where I took him as my 3rd receiver behind Antonio Brown and AJ Green. And I'll say the same thing about him, like Josh Gordon. If those guys hit, you win your league. If the rest of your team is in good
and
shape.
And if they miss, you don't lose your league.
Right, that's, you know, the thing.
So they're, I do like taking at least...
Totally home run picks.
At least one, my mid-round picks, at least one of them is going to be a high upside guy. You don't want to play too safe.
For sure. In non-PPR, I would take Fuller over both those guys. But when you get the catches that count, they're going to be more involved in their offense.
All righty, fellas. Let's play some Fantasy Jeopardy.
Yes.
Here we go. Let's see how we can screw this up.
We're hitting the table again?
No. Here's how we're going to do this. Okay. When you are ready to buzz in, you're just going to say your first name. It's going to be really fun. So, like Heath, that's how it's going to work.
So I say Heath.
Yes.
Okay. Can I say somebody else's name if I want them to answer?
You could, yeah. That actually would be very funny. Okay, so we have 3 categories. Quarterbacks, running.
Wait, hold on. Everybody put your laptops down. No cheating. Put it down. Come on.
Okay. Well, I like it. He's taking it seriously.
Huh?
Might be too late.
Oh, Dave saw the answers already?
Oh, yeah,
Adam
crap.
Sent the answers.
I sent
in the notes.
Answers.
You were a terrible
Heath,
host.
Did you see
it?
The answers?
I didn't see it.
I saw, well, at least, I saw the quarterbacks.
I sent the answers.
Like, I follow along the notes in the show so that I can be prepared to answer the questions you're going to ask me.
You didn't see the running backs or receivers?
I did not see running backs or receivers.
Or passing game? All right, so we'll do those.
I saw the headline passing game.
We'll do those categories. Running back, we now have 6 questions and only Jamie and Heath are competing.
How good, I can put my laptop.
Yeah, you can come back.
Can I ask the questions? Can I be Alex Trebek?
How could we not let Adam host? He does such a great job of hosting these game shows.
Oh my God, this is why I'm a bad commissioner. All right, the categories are running backs and passing game. We have a 200, a 400, and a $6 question for each. Jamie, the board is yours. Running backs or passing game for a dollar amount?
Running backs for 200.
Out of Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, and Leonard Fournette, this 2017 rookie running back led the pack in fantasy points per game in non-PPR. Anyone?
Jamie.
Jamie?
Who is Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt is correct.
That is correct.
$200 to Jamie. Okay, board is yours.
Running backs for 400.
A top 10 running back in non-PPR in two straight seasons. This ball carrier averaged 20 carries per game in his first eight games, but only 14 carries per game in the final eight games of the season.
Jamie.
Jamie?
Who is Devontae Freeman?
You just lost $400.
So Jamie's at negative 200 now?
Yep.
You're currently winning.
Yes.
Heath, do you have a guess? This running back, first eight games, 20 carries. Last eight games, 14 carries per game. And he's been top 10 in non-PPR two straight years.
I'll just stay in the lead. Thanks.
Okay.
This is one I didn't remember the answer for. So I was going to guess Mark Ingram, which would have been wrong.
It is Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard, 14 carries per game in the final eight games of the season. But it did not coincide with Tariq Cohen carrying the ball more. I think they just were getting blown out sometimes and for whatever reason didn't have a lot of carries.
There was a little news, Matt Nagy saying that Jordan Howard's not coming off the field on third downs.
Oh, hey, now.
I don't think they're happy with Tariq Cohen. I know that the interception that Trubisky threw in the last preseason game was on Cohen running a bad route.
I'm gonna make a change. I'm gonna make a change to the rules. I'm not gonna penalize people for wrong guesses.
What?
So Jamie, you're still at 200.
Well, I would have guessed this happens in the middle of a game
but
show.
But you wouldn't have gotten it right.
It is Alex Trebek's like, oh, now this
you can
time
make, I love this
you
rule.
Can answer any way you want.
You can make a new rule. It cannot apply retroactively.
This is the best rule ever. No,
Wheel of Fortune introduced.
No, I'll tell you what.
This is a 2-2 voting process here.
I'll be fair.
Jamie's winning 200.
I'll split the difference and put Jamie back.
No.
I'll put it back at zero.
No.
Heath is right. I'll put it back at zero. No. All right, Jamie, the board is still yours.
I can't wait to hear how you, parent your child.
Running backs for 600.
Running backs for 600. The amount of games in which Devontae Freeman had 12 or fewer carries.
So it's not 20.
Heath.
Heath.
5.
Incorrect.
Sorry.
10.
Also incorrect. Also, you guys are not answering in the form of a question, so you're all disqualified for everything. But
Can I answer?
Yeah.
What is nine?
That is correct.
Yes! I'm winning.
Dave is on the board. Yeah, 9 games out of... How many did he play? He played 14, Freeman, but got hurt early in one. But that counted in the 9. 9 out of 14 with 12 or fewer carries, and he scored double-digit fantasy points in non-PPR in one of those 9 games. Very strange year for Devontae Freeman.
Well, I think I like Howard better than Freeman.
I've been on that for a while.
Yeah.
That stat is going to scare the pants off people from drafting Devontae Freeman.
Well, it shouldn't happen, but where he's being drafted 18th overall.
Yeah, it's too soon. He's a round 3 guy, if you ask me.
He's always been that way.
I love that he's given you at least 1180 and 7 touchdowns each of the last 3 seasons. That seems like his floor.
Okay, passing game is the category, 200, 400, 600, and Jamie, the board is still yours.
200.
He had more touchdown catches than yards per catch. More touchdown catches than yards per catch.
Heath? Who is Jarvis Landry?
Yeah,
you got it!
All right, Heath Cummings, 200 for Heath, and we're tied at 200. I just thought was a fun stat.
You said you were putting Jamie back at zero.
Oh, that's right. 200 to zero. 200
so what,
to zero.
What happens when somebody misses a question?
Nothing.
No way. He's got one wrong.
Yeah,
no consequences.
He's got one wrong. Jamie's gotten two wrong.
No, but I didn't lose money because I was second person to answer.
No consequences. All right.
I say it's too late now. It's no consequences. And the only losers are the listeners.
All right. We got passing. Okay. Heath, the board is yours. Passing game for 4 or 6.
Let's just go for it. Passing game for 600, please, Alex.
No, that's not it, Dave. That's not the daily double.
You told him.
Because I thought he was going to go to 400. That's a daily double. The passing game for 600. This team led the NFL in passing yards per game.
Heath.
Who are the Chargers?
Oh, Heath is 800 to nothing right now.
No. That was the daily double.
No, it was not the daily double.
I made the noise. That's the daily double. I can't make that noise
Heath,
again.
We have one category left, and it is the daily double. Passing
no,
game.
No, we just had it.
Dave,
what is this?
You're changing the rules
What is
again?
The score?
Dave, shut up. The score is 800 to nothing. So,
how did I lose money?
All right, fine. You know what? I'll be generous. 800 to 200. Heath, passing game for 400. Okay. How much would you like to wager? It's your daily double.
500, please.
500. That is so weak. Wager 600.
Okay, 599.
599. He led the Rams in catches last season.
Dave.
Who is Todd Gurley?
That is correct.
That's one of the talking points on Gurley.
Dave, you can't answer, especially when
it's
the daily
double.
But
I even do that without having to look at the
Dave didn't
the
answer. Dave said his name, and then I answered.
I know. All right, hey, congratulations, Heath. You won Fantasy Jeopardy.
Are you interested in the quarterback questions, or should we just end this debacle now?
We can do the quarterback. But Jamie's the only one who didn't see the quarterback
questions.
No one
remembers them anymore.
Jamie, he was the number two quarterback in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues last year.
Russell Wilson.
I think you mean who is Russell Wilson, and no, you are incorrect. He was number one.
Who is Cam Newton?
Who is Cam Newton is correct. $400. A top 13 quarterback each of the last two seasons. He typically goes undrafted.
It's my arch.
This is like
my arch nemesis.
This is like the number one talking point for people
who defend
this.
You know who would get this answer right is Pete Prisco.
Pete Prisco would get this.
Oh, Blake Bortles.
Who is Blake Bortles? Jamie lost $400 for not answering the quarterback question.
All right, like our audience, I gave up on this game about 5 minutes.
Yeah. This is the last. This is for all the marbles. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, this is for $1,000. This is for $1,200 to beat Heath. Actually. No, this is for $2,000 to beat Heath.
This is for the game. This is Family Feud style scoring where everything that just happened before doesn't really matter.
Yes,
point exactly. Values are triple.
Here we go, Jamie. You ready?
Yeah.
Still looking for his first 4,000-yard passing season. This quarterback scored more than 20 fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues only once after week two.
Derek Carr. Who's Derek Carr?
I'll allow it. Jamie wins.
He's
great round. Amazing.
That
great
is
round,
really
Jamie.
The worst game you've ever. Like, you're a worse host than a commissioner.
But at least I don't have to pay my league fees.
Gotta go, bye.
Because I'm the commissioner. Thanks,
Bob
everybody.
Barker is rolling over in his house in Malibu right now.
Everybody, enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you on Saturday night, Ion Fantasy Football.
Are we going to play Fantasy Jeopardy on the radio, Adam?
I think I'd lose the radio show if we did that. So we'll talk to you Monday, everybody. If you're drafting, good luck. See you then.
Na 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 na.